We're looking at another meal, or kind of meal. We're looking at Jesus being anointed at Bethany in Mark 14. So I'm going to read that to you. And that's actually just before the Last Supper. It's another meal. Now, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could be sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to us tonight. Speak to us, God, that we might, God, just love you afresh, Lord. Amen. Amen. So here we are again with Jesus sitting, glory, so much glory, sitting at a table. And I just love it that we just keep finding him around a table and eating with people and enjoying people's company. And there's just something that's so powerful about that, that just so reinforces what Jesus is all about. He is about being with people. It's interesting, isn't it, that it doesn't seem that ever that Jesus had a meeting in the synagogue that people came to. But he was going and sharing life with people and eating and being in their homes. And I think that's such a challenge to us, isn't it? That that's what following Jesus looks like. It looks like eating around the table, praise God. It looks like going out there, eating in people's homes, rather than perhaps expecting people to come to us or to him. Jesus went in and highly valued relationship, highly valued just spending time with people. And I guess in this passage we see a huge value placed on relationship, a huge value placed on time, a huge value placed on worship and adoration. And it's massively challenging. It's a hugely challenging verse. It's amazing that I guess every time we see Jesus in a house, in a home, it seems like something's challenged, you know. Either people are being healed on the wrong day, or Jesus is saying things like, I forgive you, and he's challenging the religious mindset that, you know, about forgiveness and what who can forgive, and or he's challenging Martha for perhaps staying away from that place of intimacy because of the worry and the burden that she's carrying. And in this instant, we're challenged by the extravagance of one lady's devotion to Jesus. There's a lot of people in the room who are challenged by what's going on. And that's made me think, you know, are we a place, are we a community where we're happy to be challenged by one another? Are we okay with being challenged by people's devotion to Jesus? You know, there's that proverb, isn't it, that iron sharpens iron. And I guess sometimes when someone's like really on fire for Jesus, that can be, if you're kind of in a difficult place, it can be terribly annoying, can't it? You're like, just come on, calm down. But there's, I think that's an amazing atmosphere to be in if we allow each other not to kind of be annoying, but to encourage one another in extravagance to Jesus. Because she sure ruffled some feathers in this story. It's funny, isn't it, that when Jesus is about, everything is flipped on its head. Everything that we think should be done this way, even kind of our almost like our righteous thoughts, they look righteous, but Jesus is able to see right through them. He flips everything on its head, and it's always this kingdom value coming through, that what the kingdom, what is valued in heaven, what's valued in the eyes of Jesus is really not, is so opposite to what is valued on earth. Jesus is just reclining at this guy's house, and this lady, we're not told who she is, comes in and she breaks this this perfume, this jar of perfume over Jesus' head, and it's worth a year's wages. It's a ridiculous waste of a precious thing. And quite rightly, there's people there concerned for the poor, you know. That money could have been spent on the poor. But there's a different kingdom at work here. You know, Jesus said, and Paul said, you know, you can give all your money to the poor. You can prophesy. You can raise the dead. But if you have not love, you have nothing. And this woman seems to be able to bring the simplicity of love right smack bang in our face. She had one thing that she wanted to do, and that was express her extravagant worship to Jesus. She wanted to give her all, to offer it all to God. And Jesus loves that. Jesus saw that as such something to be highly valued, so highly valued that it was his commands that wherever the gospel is preached, this lady would be remembered. I've been reading this book by Shane Claiborne, and again, a hugely challenging book. And he talks a lot about Mother Teresa. And there are just some incredible gems, like quotes from her life. And what I love about her life is that it's so simple. And what shines through is just the simplicity of love. You know, she says great things like, we're not called to do great things, but small things with great love. That's so cool, isn't it? It's so good to be reminded that actually, you know, so often we think, man, you know, I wish I could be doing something grand and amazing for God. But the reality is that actually we're called to express love in the small things. And if we can find God in the small things, in our worship, in our day-to-day things, then that's the kingdom. But she also said this: do not worry about your career, which is massively countercultural, right? Do not worry about your career. Concern yourself with your vocation, and that is to be lovers of Jesus. Concern yourself with your vocation, and that is to be lovers of Jesus. Such a simple thing. Potentially, such a stupid thing in the eyes of this world. To be a lover of Jesus. In the book, Shane Claiborne goes on from that quote to say that he didn't really know what to do with his life. He had huge expectations on him to be someone special. And often he'd have to fill out forms and it would say career. And what he would write is lover, which I thought was cool. So simple, potentially stupid. But when you look at the lives of like Mother Teresa, and you see that was their career, to love, to be a lover of Jesus. There's something, I don't know about you, there's something attractive about the way they lived their life, the way that they shone, the way that they managed to change the world that they lived in. Maybe there's something in this. Maybe there's something in this. I love the fact that we sung that song at the end. We're coming back to the heart of worship. Life can get so cluttered with the cares and worries, and we can wonder about our own lives and where our own lives are going. What are we going to be? Who are we going to be? And I just feel like perhaps maybe God is drawing us back this evening and just saying, hey, look at this simple woman who did the most crazy thing for no other reason other than to simply adore me, to simply pour her worship at the feet of Jesus. You see, when Jesus is our focus, when Jesus is our all, then it's like, hey, the poor are going to be fed, the poor are going to be blessed. It will become an overflow. And Lord, we just so want you to be our everything. I'm reading kind of the Song of Solomon at the moment. And it's this amazing kind of story about a bride and a bridegroom. And it talks about the beauty of God's relationship with the church. And there's this amazing moment in chapter 4 where Solomon says, "You've stolen my heart with one glance of your eye." And that just so captured my imagination, that God would be overwhelmed by our worship, that God would be totally captured when we decide just for a moment to glance at him, to be extravagant with him. It's so easy, isn't it, in the busyness of our world to forget that amazing relationship that we've been called to, that our small acts of worship, our giving of our time, our wasting of our time on Jesus can totally overwhelm the heart of God. He's not a stoic God that is far off, but he is moved by our acts of worship. He is moved. What an amazing thought that you could move the heart of God. Jesus highly values our passion. He highly values our worship. He highly values our vulnerability. She went into a room full of scary religious people and did something incredibly intimate, incredibly lavish. She was vulnerable. Are we a people who are exploring vulnerability? I think one of the things about us trying to eat together and explore that kind of side of church is that there is a vulnerability to it. We want to be a people who are vulnerable with Jesus and vulnerable with one another. She kind of gave her all. She did something so intimate with Jesus in front of all those people. Are we a people who are okay to express how we feel about Jesus? Are we a people who are okay to chat with one another about the deep things of God? Are we okay to go deep with one another? I believe this woman challenges us on those things. There's real life in being vulnerable with one another, allowing God to speak into our hearts, allowing each other to speak into our situations, letting those walls down. Let's be lovers of Jesus. Let's be people who give our all to him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this woman who was extravagant with you. Lord, who decided to give her all, God, to be vulnerable before you, to be vulnerable before others. God, to adore you. Lord, thank you that you call us to that place, God. Thank you, God, that we can be lovers of God. Thank you, God, that we get to that place by receiving your love, by knowing that you are a God who is moved by our small acts of worship, our small acts of adoration. Thank you, God, for radical worship. Thank you for costly worship. May our worship, may our lives be like that fragrance offered to you. May we experience, God, a worship, a life, God, that moves you. And Lord, would you give us time and space, God, to encounter you, to allow you to speak into our lives. To allow you to challenge us, God. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder if the band could come up, and I would love it if we could sing that song again. The heart of worship. So why don't we stand together?